Sounded good. And let me know, that's going to kick off somewhere around 30 or 40 minutes. Let me know, please. Okay, Romans 1:1. Romans 1:1, continuing in our study of the book of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Verse 11, the purpose of the book. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. All right. We want to get all those in there today, because I think we're going to be able to get a lot of verses in today as opposed to the way we've been doing this so far. All right, so we've gone through verse 3, and today, so the end of verse 1, the gospel of God. I'm going to skip verse 2, verse 3. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, and by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Let's really take a look at verse 4 here now today. This power, he's declared to be the Son of God with power. Right, and that's going to be a key phrase here, that power. And that's according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The key is that power. It is from the resurrection from the dead. And if you think about it, when Peter first starts preaching in Acts 2 and 3, how many times he says over and over, God who hath raised... let's actually go back. Acts 2. Even the first time Peter preaches in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, first time, Peter's day of Pentecost message. If we started in verse 30, therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, to sit on David's throne. Okay, so Christ being raised up, raised from the dead. He come down before. To verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Okay, if we jumped ahead come to chapter 13 in Acts. Let's just jump right to Paul. First time Paul preaches, that we have an accounting of Paul preaching. In Acts chapter 13, So we're kind of jumping right into the middle here. But let's start in verse 29. So Paul, referring back to this event, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, and we talked a lot about that in some of the previous studies, okay, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, the power of God, okay? And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Okay, so once again we see it there about raising him from the dead in verse 34. Come down now to verse 38. This is the difference to everything that Paul says up until verse 37. By the way, 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. So that's the power of God, raising him from the dead. That's the power, how he was declared to be the Son of God. All right? So up until that point, Peter preached all that. Now Paul preaches something. He adds to that in verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the resurrected Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So the first time, a couple of things. First time the gospel of Christ is preached. It's actually putting it, so Christ, how that when he died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, took those sins to hell, was buried, raised again the third day for our justification. All right, the gospel of Christ. First time it's preached in your Bible right here in Acts 13, 38 and 39. The other part that this is the first time is the all message. All, that all men, verse 39, and by him all that believe, as opposed to the many message. And again, we looked at that in previous studies, but in the four Gospels, you know, when Christ even talked about coming for many, the Old Testament prophets, that he would die for many, now it's he died for all, and he died for all sins. A new message. Okay? So these are the things about the power of God, as he says in Romans 1. Going back to Romans 1. He, verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Okay, that resurrection is the key. What separates Christianity, true Christianity, from any other, you know, from Islam, from Judaism, from Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, any of the other religions out there, I'll call major religions. The difference is we're the only one that has a resurrected Savior. Nobody else does. Nobody else claims to, fortunately. I mean, they can't claim to. They don't have one. Christianity does. Christianity, for that matter, lives and dies by the resurrection of Christ. As Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, where the gospel is, but verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 17. Great verse as to why the resurrection is so important. We'd still be in our sins had God not raised him from the dead. Therefore, our faith would be vain, vain, of none effect. Your faith wouldn't matter a bit if he was not raised. Okay? Question on that? Okay. So the resurrection, the key, that's where the power that Paul talks about here in Romans 1:4. By the way, just think about also, if you were one of these Romans getting this book, because and a quote believer, because up until this time, you know, you've got Old Testament, you know, you're hearing about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, walking the earth, and all of a sudden, it's not until you get this book in written out. Why do I have 13, first time Paul preaches? Acts chapter 20. Let me just get a time frame here. Acts chapter 20. So we are looking at 25 to 30 years after the crucifixion of Christ. Okay, and this is when the book of Romans is written, if you recall, Acts chapter 20. So this is, let's just call it 25 years later or so. A good 25 years later, when this is written, and this is the first time people are hearing or reading this in Rome about this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, being dying for their sins, being Gentiles. First time you're hearing it. And first time getting a letter telling them this, okay? I forgot to get a time when we started. 10 minutes in? If who's got a watch there?
It's 1:45.
Okay. So 1:15, if you give me a sign there, that'd be great. Thanks. Yeah. Jump up and down. All right, let's look at some other things about the power of God. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's pick it up in verse 3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. Okay, there's that phrase, power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Okay, so there we're seeing again, the power of God. Come to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to pick it up in verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now we read all that to read the next few verses. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, so again, we're seeing the power of God, the resurrection of Christ. Okay? So over and over again, we're going to see this. All right, now, with that resurrection, we're identified with it. Coming back to the book of Romans, but go to Romans 6. Romans 6. And in Romans 6, let's pick it up in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, okay, identified with, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized, identified with, into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay, so again, the whole power of God and being identified with that power, Book of Romans is going to be all about this. All right, so coming back to Romans 1 now. So we talked a lot there about the power of God, the resurrection. The next phrase in verse 4 is according to the Spirit of holiness. Right? The Spirit of holiness, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Right? So if we look at a couple of things, come to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, near the end there. And thinking about the power we just talked about, verse 24, Romans 4, 24. Okay, talking about righteousness, but for us also to whom it, righteousness, shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, that power of God, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay, the importance of that resurrection. Okay? So talking about who raised him and the Spirit of holiness, look at Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Okay, so in here, God, you know, the Holy Spirit being part of that resurrection from the dead. Of course, in 4:24, it was God the Father who raised him from the dead. Let's also look at Romans 6 again. We were there a minute ago. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Okay, the glory of the Father, the Spirit. Okay, that Holy Spirit, the glory of the Father, is that Holy Spirit. So there's, we had a question at the beginning before we started, which we're still going to get to later, the difference between soul and spirit of a man. You know, here we're seeing difference between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, the three, the triumvirate there. Okay, the Spirit of holiness also is what we're talking about. Come back to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The book of John, chapter 10. Different parts being involved in the resurrection of Christ. And you just had a... You saw it. Okay, great. Probably important notes there. John chapter 10, even the Son is involved in his own resurrection. What? What? Just let the verses say what they say. In John 10, let's start verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Okay, so even the Son has a part in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, all three of the triumvirate, the Spirit of holiness back in Romans 1. Okay, verse 4, that Spirit of holiness that we're talking to, they're talking about being involved in this. Again, the next phrase, by the resurrection from the dead. All of this power coming from the resurrection from the dead. Take that away, and you destroy Christianity. One of the four Gospels in the accounting of the historical events of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. If you remember, after they buried him, in one of those four accountings, they go to Pilate and they say, hey, remember, you know, we remember that they were talking about something about him dying or, you know, raising again in 3 days. We don't know if there's anything to that, Pilate, but just to make sure that his apostles don't come and steal him and say, see, he's resurrected from the dead. Make sure the sepulcher. Remember that? And so they set the stone. They sent a centurion of guards, a legion of Roman centurion guards there. put the seal of Rome on the sepulcher so that nobody could go and steal the body of Christ, because they knew the same thing. Everything about this thing of Christianity lives and dies upon the resurrection of Christ. Right? And of course, we know the rest of the story. He did raise from the dead, and that's what we're talking about. So anyway, that's the power that we're talking about here in Romans 1. Okay, so again, verse 4. He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, once again, not among many nations, among all nations, for his name. So some other things we might want to look at here. Romans 16. So much stuff in the book of Romans. That obedience to the faith. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, just as he said in 1:5, among all nations for his name. So everything about the Paul message, the Paul doctrine, the Gentile doctrine, is to all nations. Different than anything prior to this. It had been many. And again, we looked at that in some previous weeks, so I'm not going to go back anymore on that. Now back to Romans 1. So faith among all nations for his name in verse 5, verses 6 and 7. Among whom are ye also the called, and watch the words called in the next two verses. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that word called, let's just take a little bit of time and look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, 2 Thessalonians would have been written a few years prior to the book of Romans. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in so verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The gospel is how he's calling us today. The Thessalonians, he called them by the gospel. The Romans, he's using the gospel to be called these people to be saints in Romans 1. So let's also go to Colossians 3, another place where we're going to look at calling. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. Watch what you say. Make sure you do it in the spirit of meekness. That's called speakness. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. All right, so what we're looking at here is it's all about the walk afterwards. We're called to be saints and the walk. These are great verses that really guide us afterwards. Right? And the spirit that we should be about, think about bowels of mercies. That phrase, I mean, the bowels of the building, they took them down to the bowels of the building, down where the furnaces are, the things that, just the foundation, the makes the rest of that building, that structure, stand and gives it comfort. You know, the bowels of that building. That's just something to use as a, of course, our critical organs, what makes our body go, right? Our critical organs, right? If we're going to talk about calling, you've got to go to Romans 10 as well, especially if we're studying the book of Romans. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, calling. And just, you got to read the next few verses as well. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they be preached except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, they've got to hear it. Okay, they've got to hear it. That being a key in this whole, especially if you were to read the whole chapter 10, and when people come to you and say, well, the elect, you know, people that try to, what's that term? The term for people that believe you're elected. Calvinists, thank you. The Calvinists that want to say, well, you were chosen by God, you were elected of God, you weren't, you have no say in it. No, it is free will. Book of Romans is full of free will, the free gift to all. All right, so the calling, as even Peter says in 1 or 2 Peter, elect according to his foreknowledge. Okay, it's because God knew, you know, he knows how this thing ends. He knows who's going to believe, when you're going to believe, when you're going to have your day of salvation, that being the difference. All right? So back to Romans 1 again. So verse 6 was the calling, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you all remember when we did the study on Galatians, at the beginning of every single book, without exception, all 13 books that Paul writes, he starts it with the word Paul. And very early in the introduction, he's going to talk about grace and peace. We'll just look at a couple, not all 13 books. Very next book, 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One of the other reasons you know that Hebrews is not written to you. None of these are true of the book of Hebrews. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul. And then if you come down to verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as he did here in Romans 1, verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ was Romans 1, 7. 2 Corinthians. Let's look at that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. First word, Paul. Verse 2 of 2 Corinthians. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just pick out one prison epistle, so Ephesians. Let's just go there. Ephesians 1. First word is Paul, just as before. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so you're going to see that in all 13 of his books. In three of those books, it's going to be grace, peace, and mercy. So 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, he's going to add mercy in there. But all 13 have grace and peace, okay? So we won't go through all the rest. We've already done that in previous studies. But if you're watching the recording, I'd encourage you, all 13 books, Romans through Philemon, go look at that. You'll see it starts with Paul. And early in that introduction, he'll say, grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, grace and peace and mercy, where he adds it. So once again, difference between grace and mercy. Grace is the Lord Jesus, is God giving us something that we do not deserve, that we did not earn. Salvation, nothing we can do, for by grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, he's giving us something that we cannot earn, that we do not deserve. Wages of sin is death, right? Mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. What do we deserve? Wages of sin is death. We do deserve hell, fire, and damnation. That's what we deserve. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice how Paul talks about himself in 1 Timothy 1. Again, grace and mercy. 1 Timothy 1, if we were to grab the... let's start in verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now watch this. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Okay, Paul got mercy. He deserved hellfire and damnation as much as anybody, right? Because back here in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, stoning of Stephen, Acts 7, Paul's the one, the ringleader of that. He's destroying everything that Christ taught the 12 to do, and he's the one getting in the way of it. He's going, throwing them all into jail, having them committed to death. But he obtained mercy. But then read the rest of verse 16. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The whole program changed. In Acts 9, if I had 9 on here, when he was saved on the road to Damascus, he goes away for many years, first preaches that message in Acts 13, first time we see it. Thanks for watching that, Mike. I think it's going to make a noise when it goes off. Last week, they caught it by the noise it made. Okay, but so he's talking here about obtaining mercy, and that being a key part of this. But grace, peace, if you think about what's the exact opposite of grace and peace, how about war and judgment? Okay, come to Revelations. Chapter 19. And what happens in Revelation 19? In the whole book of Revelations, talk about war and judgment. In Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. There you go, right there. It's war and judgment. But we have grace and peace in the dispensation of the grace of God. Just grab my pen here. So out here, in the Ephesians 3, the dispensation of the grace of God. There it goes. Oh, no, it wasn't either. By the way, if you were to kind of grab an abbreviation, dispensation of grace, if I were to do that, dog, and what are we Gentiles called? In the book of Matthew in particular, we're called dogs. dispensation of grace.
Password. Yeah, for sure. Okay, but
Romans 1. All right, get back on track here. Romans 1. So in verse 7, it was grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, as opposed to war and judgment that he'll be all about after this dispensation ends. I mean, out here, especially those 7 years and ending with that day of judgment, big time. Okay? We don't have to worry about that. We do not have to worry about that. Verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. All right, so there, he's thanking them. And if we were to include the next couple verses, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So think about that in your prayer life. He makes in his prayers, he's giving thanks for them. And one of the first things that in prayer is thanksgiving. And we've got to make sure, how are we doing there?
About 8 minutes.
8 after or 8 minutes? Yeah. Okay.
10.
Okay, great. Thank you. So in prayer, we want to be thinking about praying always, and in Philippians in particular, so we won't go there, just trying to save a little bit of time, but being thankful for anything and everything. Right? So, and he's praying for them always. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's just take a quick run over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 6. So think about, this is similar to the Romans here. So 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Just like the Romans, he's thanking God for their faith, right? In verse 8. I thank God that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world in verse 8 of Romans 1. Okay, praying for them always, we talked about. While we're in 1 Thessalonians, come over to chapter 5. Here's another place where we can see this whole sequence of prayer. Okay, if we start in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there's the Trinity of man. We also have three parts to us. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. All right? And let's just talk about those for a little bit here. All right? The soul, the spirit, the body. All right? So the soul, that is really the heart, your inner man. Okay? The soul of the person, the heart of the person, as opposed to the spirit of man is more your mind. The mind of man. I'm going to try to explain this the best I can, and I'll tell you right now, I'm trying to learn this more myself. I do know we have three parts. Okay, and the body's the easy part. We know that just goes back to dust. Okay, that's our physical body that the spirit and the soul inhabits.
The body is the five senses.
The body is the five senses, exactly. It touches, it tastes, it smells, it sees, it hears. Okay? Our spirit is the mind of man. Who shall know the mind of man save the spirit that is in him? Okay? The spirit of man. The heart of man, the soul of man, who shall know that, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, we're told. Right? But the soul, and that, as Popeye says, I is what I is. All right? That is the nature of man. That is my nature. That is, my soul. It's deceitful, desperately. I like to do these things over here. That is my desire. All right?
Your thoughts, your imaginations, your
Let's try a couple other verses here and see if they help us understand as well. Come to Philippians chapter 3. And also get Colossians 2. Should just be a page over. All right, so first of all, in Philippians 3, verse 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Our spirit is circumcised from the body, spiritual circumcision. Right? And if we use that Romans 6 passage like we did before about spiritual baptism, same thing here in Philippians 3, 3. Okay, so when it says we are the circumcision, obviously we're not Jews. We are the circumcision. We have been spiritually circumcised, as we'll also see in Colossians 2, over here in verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In whom also ye are, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Okay, but our spirit being spiritually circumcised from the body. Okay, so we have a body, we have a spirit, we have a soul, and these would be some of the differences. Now, the new creature in Ephesians 2 or 3. Ephesians 1 second, because I want to find this verse. I know this one's just biting me, and I'm just...
Oh.
Mike, new creature in Christ.
Corinthians 5, maybe? Or, I don't know.
There's one in Ephesians that, there it is, right above it. I got it. I'm sorry. The one I was looking for here. Ephesians chapter 2, the one new man. Having abolished in his flesh the end, so I mean Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Okay? It's also include 1 Corinthians 5, or 2 Corinthians 5, right? So 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And in the new creature, and in the one body, but our soul and our spirit are both part of that new creature, part of that body. Okay, so we do have both soul and spirit to go with our new bodies in resurrection. So coming back to the question at the beginning, did we cut out there? Okay. So that would be that part. We might even make it in one filming here. Let's come back to Romans 1. So verse 8 again was, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. All right, so we already talked about him praying for him also, always in his prayers. But he's wanting to come unto them. Okay, he has not yet been to Rome. All right, and just as we've read in, let's look at two passages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as we read over here earlier. But we're giving thanks for everything there in 1 Thessalonians. So 1 Timothy chapter 2. But we should always remember that the purpose of God our Savior. So first, the will of God, okay, that he talked about first in Romans 1. Verse 10, he was saying, making requests, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And the will of God, 1 Timothy 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God right there, that all men would be saved. And once again, all men, not many men, not just those that had this message back here and here. Out here, this is an all message, a major difference of the dogs, the dispensation of grace. Okay, even the dogs get it now, even us dogs, because now it's an all message. And that is the will of God in Romans 1:10, the will of God to come unto them, these Romans. All right.
Blows Calvinism out.
Blows Calvinism out. There you go. Another one to thank you. Another verse and concept to blow Calvinism out. Okay, so it's not part of the program. And actually, we're going to be good right there. So we'll be able to begin in verse 11 next week. And so we can actually go ahead and cut that. And we made it in one. Great.